Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Friends, I don't have to tell you that today in this world, it's an unusual place where we are. We're in a pandemic, unlike we have ever experienced before. And as a result, people may be fearful about their jobs and their homes and their income and their health. And those are all natural and acceptable fears because it's real. It is what we feel. But the one thing I was very confused about as all of this started to unfold was the run on toilet paper. The coronavirus does not affect our digestive systems like other influenzas, but all of a sudden there was not a roll of toilet paper to be found in any store. And sadly, we have also experienced cruelty by those who feel the need to hoard the toilet paper, something that everybody's going to need at some point. I have a friend who works in a grocery store, and when she talks to me about some of the things she experiences, she gets that nervous giggle. You know the one. We've all had that. She talks about it, and then she says, I don't understand this need to have everything. She says it's odd to her because where she comes from, people would sometimes walk to get water. They would haul their produce and their poultry to the market to sell. And in her home country, the luxury of many paper products is just that. It's a luxury. But she also tells me with a joyful smile about other people in her store. The ones who, whether they look at her name tag or they know her by her person, will call her by name and say, thank you for doing what you're doing. There are those who just will randomly walk by and smile and say, thanks for being here for us. She is so grateful for those people, which help to balance out the others that can be grumpy, that can be hoarding, that can be whatever fear they are living in, exhibiting to others. In her book, Grateful, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks, Diana Butler Bass talks about giving thanks and how people of all faith traditions do this. Even those who don't necessarily profess a faith give thanks. They might send a card of thanks after they've been given a gift. They may bring a gift to a host because they've been invited to an event. Or they may just do random acts of kindness because they've been shown kindness. She goes on also to say that all faith traditions have prayers of thanksgiving, a prayer of gratitude, and those prayers of gratitude come even before an event. These prayers include offering thanks upon rising to a new day, saying thanks before a meal is presented to the table, and giving thanks before you even received that good night's sleep. In our Christian act of gathering together for communion, it always begins with a great thanksgiving. And that's before we come to the table. This tradition of giving thanks before the meal comes from a Jewish tradition, which offers greetings and thanksgiving before the meal and then after the meal is served. Also, within their tradition, there is the greeting of the guest with a kiss. There is the greeting of the guest with social norms. Can I offer you some place to wash up? And then there is a blessing. It's with the hearing of this historical tradition that I begin with today's scripture from the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went with the Pharisee to the house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing him with ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt for both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Imagine coming to dinner that you are an invited guest. You arrive, you're seated at the table, but something's missing. The host doesn't offer the traditional hospitality of someone to wash your feet, an anointing, a blessing, and a kiss. In today's world, the hospitality of hand washing has become a necessity more than a nicety, and greeting one another with a kiss is something to be avoided. But in first century Palestine, it was the religious custom, not just a courtesy. Simon the Pharisee would know this because Pharisees are recognized by their strict observance of traditional and written law. They know what is expected, and they hold others accountable to those expectations, which brings us to the woman in our text. Here she is, a woman known only by her label, a sinful woman. There could be many reasons she was labeled sinful, not just the most commonly considered because she was a woman of the night, but let's go with that one, because it's mostly interpreted this way across many texts. So the drama starts to play out between Simon and Jesus. Simon, in his righteousness, backs away from the woman and is silently appalled that Jesus would allow her to touch him. However, Jesus, in his righteousness, leans in and breaks the silence open by asking Simon about his understanding of forgiveness. Jesus doesn't judge Simon. He just offers him the truth. We all need forgiveness. In today's world, there are those who think the world owes them, and those who feel they owe the world. There are those who believe consumables are for those who show up first. And then there are those who think there is enough for everyone to get just a little something. And there are those who see themselves needy, and those who see the needs of others. None of these groups are all right or all wrong. It depends on where you come from. People who live in perpetual scarcity sometimes act irrationally by buying everything they can. It's a survival instinct. And there are those who are accustomed to having everything they need so that they do then everything they can to make sure that those needs are always met. And there are also those who have been raised to allow others to consume before them, even to their own detriment. They step aside. They move away. They are on the sidelines while others are standing on and in line. Jesus sees both Simon and the woman from where they are. Different circumstances, different but equal. Both need forgiveness. Both are sinners, one by tradition and the other by formal accusation. And that's where Jesus offers an abundance of grace to the woman, who does not push her way into a scene, but she stands behind Jesus and openly weeps while anointing him and wiping her tears away with her hair. Her abundance of gratitude, even before her forgiveness, is seen by Jesus as an act of love. But by Simon and the others, it is unforgivable that a prophet would allow a sinful woman to even touch him. Jesus doesn't dismiss her, doesn't label her, doesn't call her out for her actions. He allows her to continue blessing him, and as such, it becomes a blessing to her. Her many sins are forgiven. She's released from the shackles of her past and the labels she has worn. Simon, however, is now left with an understanding of his shackles, the shackle of his lack of traditional hospitality and his judgment and labeling of the woman. Did her abundance of love for Jesus lead her to show gratitude? Or did her gratitude for Jesus lead her to show an abundance of love? Maybe yes and yes. Either way, she was blessed by being a blessing. I know you have seen them, the stories of the helpers during these past weeks. Different people in agencies giving their personal protective equipment to healthcare workers on the front line. People feeding truck drivers who can't go into restaurants on their long-haul trips of bringing commerce from place to market. And children singing and dancing and cheering up those who are far away through this medium of social media, YouTube, Vimeo, however. Do they do this because of an abundance of love, or do they receive this gratitude because they have seen the love of others? Are they grateful first, or is it a reaction to what they've seen others do? Again, I would say yes and yes, because that's how love works. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because God first loved us," and God's love is abundant. It has no beginning and no end. It does not stock up and become depleted like shelves in a grocery store. It is always. It is constant. It's available whenever we seek it, wherever we are. And yet sometimes we're surprised when we see the abundance of love played out in our world. And because of love, we're grateful for this abundance of love we see offered. It could bring us to tears. I was talking to a friend recently as she received notice that a financial obligation she was being forgiven during this time was hers. It brought her to tears. Another friend was so grateful for the generosity of clients who sent money to her business because they knew things were financially strained during this time, brought her to tears. And these are just two stories that I heard this past Friday. There are so many other random acts of kindness being shared in this time of crisis. And thanks be to God for the abundance of love and the gratitude that is given. Friends, as we move through this time in this world crisis, I hope it ends soon. But we don't know. We know where we are. And we know God's love is here. So I pray that even after we move through this, that we will remember God's great love with gratitude, and we will continue to show that love to everyone we meet and be thankful to God for the love we have received. May it be so. Amen.
This time of separation is so hard for us. It goes against our very nature to connect with one another. For we were born relational human beings, and that is how we are most happy and fulfilled. But on the flip side, we are realizing a new and deeper gratitude being born in the midst of this. That we are coming out of this time giving thanks for everything that we have taken for granted, from a hug for a parishioner, to hanging out with a good friend, to the small talk that we would make with the barista at the coffee shop that we like to go to the small talk that we have with parents at drop-offs and pickups, these little interactions that we never ever appreciated. We are so much giving thanks at this time. And we know that when we rise out of this time, that you are helping us become more grateful people with more abundance in our lives. And during this moment of silence, let us now lift up to God any prayers and concerns that are on our hearts, either for the world and all the people who are struggling at this moment, or even just for ourselves and our families, because no prayer request is too large or too small for you to hear. During this moment of silence, let us lift up those concerns to God at this time. And let us pray the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.